Hey, it's Kelly Walker, and welcome to the Queen of Manifesting podcast. Today, I have a special guest. She is one of my friends. She lives in Florida, and she's amazing. And I'm going to read you her awesome bio. Her name is Phoenix. You know what? I forgot to ask how to say your middle name.
Arindia.
Arindia. Okay, we'll leave that in because we're honest like that. Phoenix Arindia. I love it. Vincent. Phoenix is a speaker, teacher, podcaster, author, choreographer, wife, and mother to 5 children. She also runs 3 successful businesses with her husband of 17 years, and her message centers on uncovering the innate and unique beauty within each individual through a variety of methods and modalities. So I'm super excited to have her on today. I actually invited her to speak at my retreat last May, and she came all the way from Florida to speak at my retreat in Utah, and it was awesome and fun and beautiful. So I'm excited to have her on my podcast. So you guys, this is going to be a treat. So sit back, relax, grab something to take notes with, and let's get started.
You're listening to the Queen of Manifesting podcast. Welcome to the Queendom. In this podcast, the Queen of Manifesting herself, Kelly Walker, will teach you how to manifest everything you need to live your purpose at a higher level. And now, your Queen, Kelly Walker.
Okay, we are back, and welcome to this awesome episode. I know you guys love it when I have special guests, and I have an extra special guest today, Phoenix Vincent. So Phoenix, welcome to the podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
You're so welcome. I'm glad you did it. And I love your hair. Everybody that's watching the video version of this, which by the way, is on my YouTube channel, The Queen of Manifesting, you're going to love Phoenix's hair because it looks amazing.
Thank you.
So Phoenix, last time you came and you talked at my retreat, it was really cool. And you did this, like finding your emotions and resolving them through body movement, and everybody loved it. But I hear that you're excited about something new you're working on. So do you want to share about that?
Yes, it's something that I've just sort of fallen into and I'm very excited about. And it's about feminine energy, which is not something brand new to me. I actually did my master's thesis on how feminine energy is manifest in movement. And I've done a lot of other types of studies about feminine energy, but I was invited to speak at a conference on divine feminine energy. And first I thought, oh, I'll just do some movement because that's what I do. And next thing I knew, I started having all these ideas come to me and felt like many of you feel led down a totally different path than I expected.
Right.
And next thing I felt like I should start researching feminine archetypes.
Oh.
And so I started studying these different archetypes of the feminine energy. And while I was doing that, I found some really great information, but I also felt like I was working in the mud. I felt like it was a little bit confusing. A lot of the different archetypes overlapped, or they didn't really connect to everyone. Right. A lot of the traditional archetypes done by Carl Jung, they are very linear. So you have the maiden, and then you have the mother, and then you have the crone. So they're very linear based. And I knew that when it comes to feminine energy, we are all about expansion. We're about stretching out. We're not about this linear process. That's actually more of a masculine process.
Oh, cool.
So I felt like it was inadequate. And then I also noticed that there's some really unique things about feminine energy that were not really included in the traditional archetypes. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to create my own categories and I'm going to clear them up so that they all have their own separate space. They're not overlapping. I mean, we overlap some, but for the most part, it's really clear which one is which. And I'm going to make sure that we include the things about feminine energy that are really important, like our ability to heal. You know, the feminine nature, even just the feminine body, were created to create life, which creation of life is about creating healing,
right?
And bringing more energy to the world. You know, women tend to live longer than men. There's that whole life force energy that's very powerful for the feminine. So I went through and I decided I'm not going to call them archetypes because I've made something new. I created new titles for them.
Yay.
So I call them windows because it's the way we see the world and it's the way the world sees us.
Oh, cool.
And so there's seven of them. And we typically will have one to three that are the ones we lead with most of the time. And then we'll have a few that we're kind of weak on, but they're all part of us. And as we strengthen the ones that are weak and we make sure we feed the ones that are our best ones, because those are our favorites, we start to feel more whole. And we know how we can switch from one energy to the other when we need to. You know, you're not going to, if you're a lawyer, you don't want to use the same energy and same personality as a lawyer with your spouse.
Right.
It's not going to go very well.
That would not go well.
But on the same thing, if you are always in loving, nurturing energy and you need to get something done, it's going to be hard.
Right.
You know, there's times when we need to bring passion. There's times when we need to bring intellect. There's times when we need to bring just our heart and our kindness. Mm-hmm. We need to bring playfulness. And so I created these seven windows to cover those different parts and to help people understand them so they can activate them. And we can recognize, instead of going, oh, why is this situation so frustrating? We go, well, I'm bringing the wrong part of me. If I bring this other part of me, this will go a lot better.
I love that.
So I would love to share those really briefly with you guys if you want to hear it.
I would very much like to hear those.
Awesome. Okay. So the seven different windows are the independent seeker, the passionate creator, the nurturer healer, the spiritual intuitive, the wise intellectual, the playful innocent, and the loyal leader.
Ooh, I like that they all have two names.
Yeah, I couldn't really like only have one name. I felt like there needed to be a description and a title. So there you go. That's how it came to be.
I love it.
So just digging in, I'll just go over a really brief. I teach people multiple sides. I teach them what the strengths are of each one and what the shadow side is, which the shadow side is what shows up when we're in fear. Because if you'll notice, if you think about yourself and the other feminine energies that you know, we don't always go into the same shadow side. Sometimes we're angry, which is one shadow side. Sometimes we're just dramatic and emotional. Sometimes we get manipulative. Yep. Sometimes we get judgmental.
Yep.
And so just like we have all these different strong sides of us, we also have seven different shadow sides of us. So I teach people about shadow sides. I teach them how to feed and strengthen them. And I also teach them how to deactivate. And that's something I teach in a course that I teach on the seven windows. So, but I just wanted to go over the basic description of each one for you guys today.
Please.
So you have an understanding. So our independent seeker, she's the one that she's very obviously independent. She's confident. She's competitive with herself. She pushes herself to accomplish goals. She's huge into freedom. Freedom is so important to her. And she's adventurous. She stands up for herself. She also is the main one that will be super protective. She'll protect the other windows even. She'll protect your whole self. So if she feels threatened, she's the one that's going to be your fighter. Nice. And I think of the example, like if any of you have seen Wonder Woman, she was an independent seeker. She wasn't doing it for significance. She was doing it because it needed to be done.
Yep.
So that's our independent seeker. She's beautiful. She's strong. She is the one that tends to be the loudest because she knows that she can make sure things happen. So she'll be the one, I can just do it myself. I can handle this myself. So she's a beautiful, beautiful persona.
Love it.
Our other one, our passionate creator. This is the one that tends towards the arts and artistic things. And it doesn't have to be traditional arts. It doesn't have to be drawing and dancing and music. It can be home decor. It can be any type of creation energy. It can be creating a business even.
Mm.
She's very into love and connection. She's into sensuality, which is different than sexuality. It's this awareness of all the senses. Now, she is the one that is going to be tend more towards sexuality, but there's two different things there.
Right. Gotcha.
She's passionate. She also has an abundance mindset, which is so unique because you think of artists as often being starving artists, but the reason that they're starving is because they really believe that they can keep creating and that there's an abundance of something, even if it doesn't manifest exactly as money.
Yeah.
They continually believe that they can live off of their passion alone,
That's
which
awesome.
Is an abundance mindset if you think about it.
True.
So she's very inspiring. She's also very magnetic. If you think of people when they are talking about something they're passionate about, everyone kind of leans in and is drawn to that.
Right. They love it.
Very beautiful. All right. Our nurturer healer. She is nurturing and nourishing, which is two different things. Nurturing is all about encouragement and building up. Nourishing is about giving somebody something of higher vibration than what they currently have. And that can be food, that can be energy, that can be love, whatever. It's just nurturing and nourishing. She's very warm. She's down to earth. One thing that's really important to the nurturer healer is community and family. So whether she has a family that she's with or whether it's a group she's a part of, those connections are super important because they are the vehicle for her to love. And love is her thing, unconditional love. She loves because she is love. Love is so important to her to express. She's very compassionate. She has very genuine connections. She's not fake at all. She's not someone that you wonder if she really cares. You can't help but know that she cares.
Right.
You know? Some of the other types you might wonder, passionate creator, you might wonder.
Yeah, exactly.
But the nurturer healer, you always know. And she's patient. She's comfortable with a range of emotions. She's very heart-centered.
Nice.
And so that's the one we think of as a mother, but it can show up in any role in any time period of your life. It doesn't have to be just in mother roles. It can be in any sort of nurturing and nourishing role.
Cool.
And then we've got our spiritual intuitive, which obviously more prayerful, spiritual. Her biggest thing is she prioritizes tranquility and inner peace.
Ooh.
So she will fight for her peace.
That's awesome.
Independent seeker fights for freedom and adventure.
Very different.
Yes, very different. So she tends to be more calm, serene. She's magnetic or anti-magnetic, I guess you would call it repelling.
Repulsive? Repelling?
Could be, depending on the person.
Awful, right?
And the reason is because people get around her and they think either she has something that I want. She has the serenity that I want.
Yeah.
Or they think she has something I don't have and that bothers me.
Oh, so she's polarizing.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
She is polarizing because it awakens people to what something inside of them that is seeking that higher power, seeking a connection with the universe, seeking to be connected to themselves.
Yeah.
She's very intuition based, but it's on feelings and gut instincts.
Yeah.
And she's also very good at taking responsibility. She's not someone that blames other people because that doesn't help her be serene. So she's going to say, hey, this is something I need to work on. It's calm. I'm going to work on it. So she's very, just think peace, tranquility. Some people think it doesn't have anything to do with religion whatsoever. You can be very religious and not prioritize tranquility and inner peace.
Right. Yeah.
It can exist in religion. It doesn't have to though.
Right. It's not required.
Nope. Not at all required. That is why a lot of times you'll hear people say I'm spiritual, but not religious. And sometimes, in religious communities, people are like, what do you even mean? That's just a cop-out. No, it's not a cop-out.
No, it's not.
it does mean that intense inner connection is just very, very important. That's why people will spend time in the mountains or at the beach or places where they can just feel that connection.
Yeah.
All right. So now we have our wise intellectual. So this is the left-brained, logical, strategic is a big thing. So being able to see this is going to affect this is going to affect this. Think of chess, like being able to see multiple moves ahead. And a lot of times, unfortunately, in the media, she's represented by men, or they'll put her as maybe on a team that a man's leading. They don't show the fact that the feminine brain is actually more suited towards strategy because we are aware of multiple things at a time.
Yeah.
We have a diffused awareness. So being able to say, oh, this will happen. I mean, you watch a mother and she somehow knows that this is going to lead to this, that's going to lead to this, that's going to lead to the egg falling on the floor and making a mess.
Like on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And the guy, the little kid has to think out their decision of popping that balloon or not.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great, I love it. That's a great example.
Right.
So she's very focused. She's got a lot of experience. So her intuition seems like the same kind of intuition. She may even call it gut, the way the spiritual intuitive does. But hers is actually based on a very rapid analysis based on experience.
Nice.
And so she does a rapid analysis.
What's she called again?
The wise intellectual.
The wise intellectual. Okay.
She's organized, disciplined. She's very honest because it doesn't make sense to lie. That's just going to create drama.
Yeah.
So she's going to be very honest and truthful. She's going to care about research, reading, study, education. Those are all very important to her.
Awesome.
And now we've got one that's actually my personal favorite, and I suspect it's going to be one of Kelly's favorite too. It's the playful innocent.
Yay.
She is just fun. She is innocent, but it doesn't mean that she's inexperienced. It doesn't mean she doesn't have any trauma. It doesn't mean that she hasn't been through a lot. It just means that she's choosing optimism. She's choosing play. She's choosing fun.
Despite
everything she's been through. She's very fresh, natural. Laughter is huge. She loves to laugh. She loves surprises and being excited about new things.
I feel like you're describing me.
I told you, you would love her.
Like, yep, that's me.
Yep. I knew you'd like this one. Yeah, she's very high energy, very open-hearted and trusting. She's the one where when you do think of the archetypes, the magician comes into play here because she can come up with creative solutions because anything is possible.
Yeah.
So she's not limited by her energy at all. She's got this just total expansive and excited energy.
Awesome.
So she's very fun and she's the perfect one to break the pattern of a lot of the other ones. So you bring in surprise, you bring in laughter, you bring in joking. And you're able to let go of some of the tension. So if someone's primary two are, say, the wise intellectual and the independent seeker, they live a very intense life and they need some breaks from now and again. Yeah. So they need that playful innocent to come in and just say, let's just play for play's sake.
I love it.
A lot of times the other people in the other types will say, you say, what do you do for fun? They say, well, my work is fun. And you're like, no, you can't have fun when it's paired with a responsibility.
Ooh,
you know, it's like telling a child, you know what? We can either play at the park or we can go home and clean the house and we'll make it really fun.
Lame.
Yeah, they're not going to like that. They're not going to go for that.
No, definitely not.
Playful innocent knows when you're still being responsible, even if she can bring in some fun, which is great. And you can partner her, but she's not fully fed unless it's only fun and no responsibility.
Wow. Yeah.
So playing hooky is fun for her.
Yeah.
Surprising people, even startling people is fun for her. Jokes are fun.
Yeah. Awesome.
And so that brings me to my very last one, which the more I have developed these windows, the more I've started to think that this one might be the culmination or the combination of all of them. But I say that very carefully because I'm still working through that. But it's the loyal leader. And the reason I say that is because she's the one that says what's best for the good of the whole. That is her driving thing. And sometimes what's best for the good of the whole is to be a nurturer healer. A nurturer healer doesn't always think about self-care though, because she's always looking out for other people.
Yeah.
So the loyal leader knows when to say, but right now self-care is what's best. Right now, some play is best. So she does tend to be a leader. She does tend to be drawn to entrepreneurial things. She's very good at decision-making.
Yeah.
She also gets really good at filtering. So she has to filter because she has so much responsibility, which means she needs to delegate. She needs to say no from time to time.
Love
She's
it.
Very powerful, very strong, but it's not just for strength's sake. It's just because she's doing what's right to help the good of the whole. And as I've worked with people, I actually have them take a quiz to figure out what percentage they are of each one of these seven.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Across the board, people are lowest in loyal leader because we're not conditioned. In our society, we're not conditioned to think about the good of the whole. We're conditioned to either be super independent or just serve all the time.
Exactly.
We're not conditioned to always be thinking about what's best for the whole. Is it best for the whole for me to sacrifice right now? Or is it best for the whole for me to do what's best for me?
Right.
Cool. So that is our seven windows. I think I covered them all. I better look back and make sure I did it so fast. Yep. We got them all.
That's so cool. How did you come up with this?
Honestly, there was a lot of inspiration involved, and it was so fun for me that I was able to keep going. I probably spent more time developing this than any other program because it was so fun. And as I got to know them, it was like, I talk about it like it's a boardroom of women, and these are now my women, and I need all of them to be involved.
Yeah.
And it's very beautiful because when I'm going through things, I'll check in with each one of them. And I had a situation that happened where I was very triggered. I was like, okay, I better live what I teach. So let me check in with all seven women and see how they each feel about it.
Yeah.
And what was so funny is I thought I was really triggered and it was going to take me a couple of days to get through this. But when I checked in with all the women, I discovered that only one of them was bothered.
And the other six were fine?
The other six were fine or saw the value. And so suddenly I went, gosh, I guess I'm really not that bothered if only 1/7 of me is bothered.
Okay. That is super valuable because how much time do we spend wasted in trigger?
Oh yes. My so but crazy. Just checking in with the other ones and going, well, what, it's kind of like, just, we're like, hey, well, what do you think about this? Well, what about you? And you know what? The playful innocent is going to rarely be bothered. Yeah. She's only going to be bothered if she feels rejected by everybody.
Yes. Right. So true.
But otherwise she's going to go, well, how can we make this fun? Now, the wise intellectual is not going to be bothered because it takes too much energy that could be spent thinking and planning and organizing.
Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh. So, I love this concept. Okay. Maybe I'm jumping ahead, but can people just take the quiz? Can you share the quiz with them?
Well, I will consider it right now. Okay. I have it as part of the course. It's part because they actually do the quiz and then they do a one-on-one session so I can help them understand the results of the quiz.
Okay.
Because there is a little bit of interpretation, but long-term, I do plan on having it be something that it's automatically calculated when you do it. Right now I do go through and I go through their answers and I individually calculate each one. So,
okay. Well, something to look forward to.
Yes. Yes. Eventually, maybe in 3 to 6 months from now, I'll have that as an automated quiz.
Cool. Oh my gosh. I love it. So I could see how this could totally relate to manifesting because you've got to tap into the right one. Sometimes when you're too much in one, it's blocking what you manifest. So you've got to shift into the other one. So let's talk about that. How do you use this to manifest better?
Perfect question. I love it. So one of the problems out there, and this is definitely doesn't apply to you because I've seen the way you teach about manifesting, but a lot of people teach about manifesting from their window. And so each window is going to manifest differently.
Oh my gosh.
And so that's a struggle because if you're teaching someone, if you're a passionate creator, then you're going to ask the question, how is this thing that I want to manifest? How is it going to make me feel? And you're going to want to picture how it makes you feel and you're going to try to embody it.
Yeah.
But if you try to teach that to a wise intellectual, they're going to say, who cares? And they're going to get frustrated with the exercise because they're going to be like, I guess it'll make me feel good, happy, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got different questions you're going to ask for each one when you want to manifest. And if you can go through and answer all of the questions for all seven, then it's going to be that much more powerful.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You definitely want to at least at a minimum answer the ones for your primary windows.
Mm.
So I'm going to go through these and I might even send these as an email to you, Kelly, so you could put it in the comments of your podcast.
Oh yeah. Okay.
The passionate creator is going to ask, like I said, how will it make me feel? They're going to want to embody it. They're going to want to try to feel it right now. Because that activates that reticular activating system to say, oh, we want this because look how it makes us feel. And we already have it. So we're going to just draw it in.
Yeah. Nice.
The independent seeker, she's the one that you really, even if she's your lowest one, you still need to have this in there. And that is, what is the action I need to take? What's the next step? Because you can visualize all day long, but if you don't take any action, nothing's going to happen. And so you absolutely have to have her. And so sometimes it's just saying, what's the next step to get there? Perfect. But she does need to be paired with other things, because otherwise you'll just do a lot of ineffective action. Mm. The playful innocent, I alluded to this a few minutes ago. How can I make this fun?
Yeah.
Because if she doesn't see a future of fun in what you're planning, she will not be there for you. However, if she knows it's fun, you'll get all this optimism and all this positive energy driving you towards
nice.
It.
Nice.
The nurturer healer needs to know, how is this going to help the people I care about?
Oh.
How will this serve people? Especially the people I care about. And we'll get to how it's a little different than the question for the loyal leader, but it's similar.
Okay.
Wise intellectual needs to know the reasons. Why am I doing this? So some people teach this in manifesting. They say, okay, so you need to list all the reasons.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You need That's to get your why really clear.
Yes.
And often masculine energy will teach from that perspective. Oh, you need to get clear on your why.
Yeah.
Because that's strategic to get clear on the why.
Very.
But it's only one part of feminine. Spiritual intuitive is checking in with a higher power. What am I being led to do? How can my higher power help me in this process? That's where we bring in grace. We bring in the recognition that all good things come from outside of us, power, a source, a strength. And so being able to check in and pair with that, it's like, it's the reason why AA is so successful, is because they pair the process with a recognition that there's something higher than us that we need help from.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
And so being led. And then finally, the loyal leader takes all of that and extends it out and says, how is this going to benefit the world and help as a collective world, help us all rise?
Ooh, nice.
How does me speaking up, how does me following my dreams benefit the collective whole of the universe?
Yeah.
So she's able to look at it as a bigger picture, because she'll do it if it helps the whole.
Oh,
it just helps her, or just helps her children or her friend. That's not enough.
Right. Wow. This could kind of, these fit really well into my manifesting formula too.
Yes.
Like they line up really well. That's awesome. Wow.
And that's why I thought that you would love this, because you already have a much fuller way of teaching manifesting than most people out there do.
Ah, thanks. Yeah. This like adds a whole new layer to it. I love it. We should do a manifesting event together.
Let's do it.
Side note, side conversation. Let's plan an event. Yeah. Well, we are thinking about, looking to move to Florida. So
let's do it.
That could be our first Florida event. That'd be so fun.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Yeah. See,
I love it.
See, there's your playful innocence speaking. That'd be fun.
See, I know, right? The whole time I'm like, okay, that's one of mine. What's my other? I think the passionate creator also. Because I'm all about ideas all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, I love it. So where are you taking this? Where's this headed? What's the future of this?
So my goal is to teach at as many conferences as I can this year. And then also filtering people into the course that I teach, which is a 14-week course. So people spend 2 hours every other week on each one. Nice. So it's like they dive deep on each one, and then they get to work on it for a little bit. So I just want to teach as many as possible, because women, we have such a unique history where we've come from being so less than, so much like a sub part of society to fighting for our rights. Mm-hmm. And we've come a long way. I'm not saying that we're where we need to go. We're not all the way to equality, but we've come a gigantically long way.
Yeah, totally.
In a relatively short amount of time. People forget how long it takes for a society to evolve. How quickly we've done that in the past, say 40 to 50 years is actually very impressive.
Yeah.
But one of the things that, in my opinion, happened is that we thought feminine and women's role was one thing, and it had to do with tasks and roles and nature. And then we pushed and we pushed and we pushed. And what people, some may consider masculine, we fought to get, we use that independent seeker like crazy to get our seat at the table, to say, we can do what men can do. We can be equal. We matter. We matter just as much as anyone else.
Right.
And that's largely been done by the Generation X women who have been moms and they've held jobs and they've started businesses and they've and now they're exhausted.
Yes, we are. I am a Gen X mom.
Completely exhausted. And it's because we didn't know that there's so many flavors to us. We thought we didn't want to go backwards and just go into, oh, I got to clean and cook and have babies. And that's all I'm good for is service. But we also were exhausted from fighting so hard. And so my goal is that women will be able to see all these parts of them that are here to help bring healing to the world. Because what the world needs now is healing.
Yeah, big time.
And so by bringing all these parts and bringing wisdom, bringing maturity, and stopping fighting so hard, then we can expand. We can get expansive and creative, and we can help bring the healing to everyone that is needed right now. And so that's my big vision of, like, I want to help as many women as possible to stop being so exhausted and to start seeing their beauty and wake up to,
I love this,
all these nuances that they might not have realized were there.
It's like a whole new set of tools.
Yes.
To understand yourself.
Seems like a lot at first because it's seven, you know, and a lot of presenters out there try to keep it to four main points. And
that's true.
But I'm like, but I can't cut any of them out.
No.
And once you learn them, they actually come easily because you know that they're a part of you.
Yeah. It makes sense. It flows. It's like, oh, wow. Duh. You know?
Yeah. And we go into it. And so, you know, and also knowing those shadow sides helps you go, oh, okay, this is the part of me that's hurt right now and why she's acting this way. And let's deactivate that. Let's bring a different nuance in. Let's partner a different gal in here and see what she can bring.
Call in the troops.
for you and me, Kelly, we got to find a way to laugh about what's going on and then we'll be just fine.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Find the funny.
But for some, they just need to stop and connect to their heart and get back into love. For some people, they need to get more logical because they're just over emotionalizing everything.
Yeah.
So it depends on where you're at, which part of you need to.
Yeah. And you probably are, you know, different at different times. We don't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We don't always lead with the one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Oh, we are complex human beings, but it's also so beautiful. It's beautiful though, because it means we have so much to draw on.
Yeah.
And just one last thing is that's so cool about women is that women, they found that they have more neurons connecting their right and left side of their brain than men do. There's more connections that.
Oh, wow.
And that's why we're able to switch energy very quickly. That's why men think we're crazy, because one minute we'll be laughing and then we'll be crying.
Oh my gosh, right?
But that's what's so beautiful about us is that we can switch easily, which means we can switch into love and nurture, and then we can switch into get it done.
Yeah.
We can pull it. We don't have to have a long transition time. We don't have to sit in front of the TV for an hour before we can do something different. Right. You know? It's beautiful. And it also, understanding it helps us not feel so crazy.
Yeah. Which is nice. Wow. I love this. It's so cool. Do you have a name for it? Are you calling it Seven Windows?
Yep. Seven Windows into the Feminine.
Oh my heck. I love it.
And I do have a free download that has just a list and a description of each one on my website on danceyourtruth.org.
Oh, good. I was going to ask if you had a free gift for the listeners. So
that's awesome. I do. So you'll just go to danceyourtruth.org and then you'll click on the link that says, learn from me. I think I just changed it. Yeah. Learn from me. And at the very top of the list, it says free Seven Windows download.
Nice. All right.
So it's just a little PDF that has each one and just a basic list of the strengths of each one.
Okay, great. I love that. Thank you. I'm going to go download it too.
Awesome.
I totally want it. All right. Well, if people want to get a hold of you, then would they just go to danceyourtruth.org and probably have a contact button or something?
Yep. There's a contact page there. They can reach out or check out some of the free stuff.
Nice. I'll put that link in the show notes too. So if you're driving right now and you can't write that down, go look at the show notes and I'll put the links in there.
Yeah. Don't do it while driving, please.
Please don't. All right. Well, that was awesome. It's good to talk to you again.
Yes. Thank you so much. It's good to touch bases. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. All right. Well, we will wrap it up and talk to you all again next Monday. All right. I'll see you guys later. Have a great week and manifest lots of awesome stuff. Bye.